This is the crossover. Hosted by Chris Brockman.
Welcome to the crossover in ROFFL edition. Yes, we're back after taking basically all of last year off, I think, from an ROFFL edition of the crossover. We've returned. We started this back in 08 before our Atlantic City draft back then, and it was epic, and we decided to return and keep it going. And my first guest of the season is someone I'm very excited about. You may know him as the 2012 ROFFL champion. He ran the freaking table. Scott Watson basically destroyed everyone in his wake on his way to his first Greg Moore trophy, including yours truly, who he defeated in the quarterfinals of the playoffs last season. Scott, welcome. It's been a long time. Great to talk to you, man.
Thank you very much, Brock. It still excites me to hear that introduction.
You deserved it, man. Hey, you earned it. We were saying this at draft weekend. You might have the team you threw up last year might be one of the greatest championship teams of all time, no?
I like them. I remember talking to Navid about it early in the season because I think I started 0-3 or something like that.
Right. And you started 0-3 and then you ran the table.
I just kept saying to myself, even like at those, 0-3, you're like, pulling your hair out a little bit. But, I just felt really good about my players and, it turned out that they did pretty well. 13, I mean, it was like, how roller coaster season is fantasy football, like how emotionally high do you get into the game. So fortunately for me and for my wife, there was no like low point after that. It was all very close calls. There's lots of close calls, that's for sure. But there was a lot of good weekends. At least at the end of the weekend, it was always pretty good.
And when you look at the championship matchup against Rich, who was the 8th seed.
Yeah.
1.5 points decided it. I know we're really dipping into the Wayback Machine here, but do you still remember the championship weekend, week 16 last year? What was going through your mind as you were, I'm sure you were just closely watching Stat Tracker. Do you remember what happened when it was finally over?
Oh, man, yeah. It's ingrained in my memory. I remember I was down big time, too, to Rich. I think the last game of the weekend was Seattle-San Francisco. And I had the Seattle defense, which you now have, and you saw that the damage that they did last year. I mean, they were an amazing team at the end of the year last year. And I also had Marshawn Lynch. So I had two guys going at the end, but I was down quite a bit. And so I actually, I kind of wrote off that week. I there was no way I was going to come back. Like, I went to dinner. I was following a little bit on my phone, because I'm a degenerate to a certain degree. And we came back and turned the TV on, and it just kept, crazy plays were happening, interceptions in the end zone, and, kickback returns, and all it was just, it was very exciting. It was definitely a high point.
Because Rich had, you were the 2 seed, and Rich had quite a run himself to get to the championship game. He took out Parker, who was the number 1, and by far and away, he had the most consistently top team last year with Peyton Manning and Wes Welker. And Rich took him out big time in the quarters. And then Rich barely beat Cantor in the semis. And then again, another close game in the championship round. Whereas you, like you said earlier, lost the first 3 and just got on that winning train and never looked back.
Yeah, I remember. I think Parker put some comments on the board last year after that. Because he had a great team, and his team, for whatever reason, did not show up against Rich. And then the following week, it just exploded. I remember him writing something on the board like, way to wake up, fellas, or something like that. And he ended up winning the next 2, and, he got the 5-layer dip bowl, I think. And I think, when he beat Cantor, I remember, something on the comment board as well. Like, whereas in the final, Rich was kind of the victim of a Seattle defense run for me to kind of win it. He benefited from, I think it was the Jets defense, or it was a Tennessee defense against the Jets, and that was Cantor's team, and the Tennessee defense just kept stacking up the points against the Jets. I think it came down to the last minute, and so Rich pulled that one out at the end, kind of like the way I pulled out the championship at the end, just by the fact that your defense gets a sack or an interception or something. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing how it turns out. Usually the best team doesn't always win. The one seed, how many one seeds have actually won the championship? It can't be very many.
I think it's only been one. I have to go back and look, but I think, you know, Jay Cantor, either his, maybe it was his first year or his second year. It might have been his first. He was 10-3 and just cruised through his championship. But I don't think it happens very often.
All right, well, that's the past. It's over. You're in possession of the Greg Moore Trophy. Where is it sitting in your house? Is it watching you sleep? Does it come with you to the bathroom? Do you take it to dinner? Tell us what you're doing with the trophy, because we all have these grand illusions of what we would do with the trophy. So please, tell us what you're doing with it.
Well, you'll be glad to know I don't take it to the bathroom with me. So, you know, for future trophy holders, it's clean, at least based on my treatment of the trophy, but it's got a good place right in the center of the, I don't have a very big apartment, so I think you can see the trophy wherever you are in my apartment, which is kind of...
Oh, that's lovely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Central location.
So. That's outstanding. Now, I've been petitioning this for several years now, and maybe someday it'll actually happen. Now, here's the deal. You win the trophy, okay? But you have to wait 9 months to get the trophy, and nowhere ever does that happen. Like, the Ravens don't win the Super Bowl, and then the Giants hold on to the trophy for 9 months. So...
I know. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, like, if... Because I don't know how, you know, Parker handled it, or, you know, all of the past champions. Like, once you know, the current season is playing out and I get knocked out or don't even make the playoffs or whatever it is,
and you
I don't know if I want to see that trophy anymore.
Exactly.
Now.
That's what I'm saying. So here's what I'm going to put on you, Scott. You're the champion, okay? Your time with the trophy is going to be short, but I want you to be the better man here. If you do not repeat this year, I want you to take it upon yourself to send it to the winner. So that winner can enjoy being the champion with the trophy. I want you to start the trend so we can get this ridiculous tradition over with. It's stupid.
Well,
it's archaic.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you at a certain point, but I do like the trophy presentation at the draft.
Guess what? We can still do that. All you have to do is bring the trophy. We can still do the meaningless presentation. But the point of being the champion is to enjoy being the champion with the trophy. And you only get to enjoy it for 4 months. The other 8 months, you don't get to have it while you're the champ. Make sense?
That is true. I don't know what the solution is there, man.
Well,
I think,
I'll tell you what's the solution. It's going to take one person to suck it up and be like, okay, fine. I'm no longer the champ. This person is. He deserves it. I'm sending it to him. And I'm going to put that onus on you, Scott Watson, to start this 2013.
Yeah, I do that. I'm getting that tone, yeah. I'm fine with it. I think it's nice. I think the first time that you receive it, it's kind of nice to actually gain possession of it, kind of with the whole league there, and, you know, right before the draft begins. You know, it's kind of a ceremony, like the, you know, you don't get the Lombardi, you know, afterwards, but you get, I think you get your rings. There's like a ring ceremony or something like that.
We can do a ring ceremony later. Everyone wants to win the trophy. And the person who wins it doesn't have it for the whole time, for the majority of the time that the other person has won it. So it's got to start with somebody. And I'm going to have it. I want it to start with you, Scott. It's year 13. Enough of this crap.
Man, this is gotcha journalism. That's what this is.
See what I'm doing there? Gotcha. I gotcha. All right, let's move on. We are in our 13th season. Can you wrap your mind around that?
I can't. It's ridiculous. We're so old.
Do you remember your first ROFFL draft? Do you remember what that was like, meeting everyone for the first time? Because, like, none of us knew you or Navi or really, because you worked with Mark and the Page program, correct?
Yeah, I kind of remember it. I mean, I remember the pictures, you know, when we were in that room, and I can't imagine. I mean, we must have had, like, you were there, right? I think Rich.
I was there.
Greg,
I was there the first one. Rich called in on the phone from New Orleans. He had just moved. Or no, he was in Arkansas. He had just moved.
He had just moved
to Arkansas like 6 months before. Parker. Parker was in a park in Queens because he was working at the U.S. Open.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you remember this better than I do. I just remember how small the room was, how small the draft board was.
Oh, yeah, because I remember the room exactly. It was two beds, and it was, like, up against the wall. We had the draft board, like, pinned to the wall. I want to say I took, I don't know who I took that year. Might have been...
People were just crammed anyway. Let's see, 2003. I'm on the website now. I just remember the draft. I think I took, like, a defense early. Let me see here.
Does it have the draft results on there?
Oh, yeah, man. Yahoo's got everything. Let's see. Brock's Bombers.
Brock's Bombers. The Bombers.
You got your fifth round pick.
Oh, I came in seventh Baltimore, that year.
Baltimore defense.
Wow.
Fifth round. Nice
work. Wow. So early for them.
I took in sixth round, so I'm not far behind
you. Oh, dude. Oh, Cantor had the first pick, took Tomlinson, and then won the league that year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad, right?
You know what? I took Sean Alexander. I thought I took Sean Alexander. That was my first year with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was your pick.
Because my last year with Sean was 05 when he had, like, the 800 touchdowns. And then Rich took him in 06, and he was terrible, and then he was out of the league 1 year later.
You used him up and gave him to Rich.
That's right. That's right. Kisses Commandos took Donovan McNabb.
Syracuse.
Oh, that's... And Amon Green, back-to-back. Parker took Travis Henry. This is fantastic to be able to go back through this, huh?
Yeah, this is fun. I mean, I think... let's see. I think we could probably look to 2001 when we did the auto draft. I feel like I remember looking at our auto draft years, and I remember seeing that I got, like, a kicker in, like, the first or second round or something like that.
Well, here we go. Auto draft 2002, so Nick won, not guilty. Brian Young came in second that year. Greg Moore came in third place. Unbelievable. So let's go to our draft results.
I took Washington in the fourth.
Oh,
there you go.
Dave had the first pick, and Marshall Faulk was the number one overall pick.
It's fun, man. This is memory lane.
Amazing.
All these guys.
Oh, I had the 13th pick and took Randy Moss. Oh, those were the Raiders. Those were the Raiders years. Man, was he terrible. So Nick won that year, and he got Terrell Owens in the first round. Let's take a look at Nick's team. He won that season. T.O. with his first pick.
Well, Cruz was Vic. I think that's really what it was, isn't it?
Oh, did he pick up Vic? Rich Gannon? Aaron Brooks was drafted?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Chicago defense in the third round of an auto draft. This is amazing. If you guys want to waste, like, an hour, go back through the draft settings, go back through the old years, see who won, and then look at the draft results and look at the teams and look at some of the guys. Truly amazing.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of time doing that. Funny.
Truly amazing. What did I came in, like, 13th place that year? I was terrible. I could have been the first toilet bowl winner.
That's right, in hope of moral wins.
I changed my team name so many different times that year.
Yeah, I think I did too.
That's the lowest I've ever been. I lost 8 in a row. I started the year 3-2 and lost 8 in a row.
That is a bad trend.
Wow, Brian Young started 2-4 and won the last 7. By the way, who do you think made the least amount of moves that year?
Is it Tracker also?
The Cougs. The Cougs with one move. One move throughout the season. Suzanne, wherever you are, I hope you're listening to this. Your one move. Trent Green was your quarterback. Travis Henry, Amon Green, and Corey Dillon. Wow. Good running backs that year.
You made it to the playoffs.
Good running backs that year. Joe Horn had 1,300 yards receiving. Jimmy Smith. Is he in prison right now, Jimmy Smith? Brian Fitterin had 800 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns.
He got kicked out for a reason. It was not a coincidence.
Wow, this is incredible. All right, well, let's talk about this season, Scott. You are the defending champion. As always, you wrote a fantastic keeper column. How did you feel? Your column came out, and then what was your predictability percentage this year? How did you do?
Predictability percentage. Let's see. I actually have that. I can tell you. It was tough. There were a few people that I bailed on. I got an email from Jay Cantor asking before the book came out what I thought. I predicted completely the wrong keepers for him, so that didn't work out so well. But I did it in like July, so it was before preseason camps began, and you know, so you kind of have to do a little guesswork. But I did pretty well. I think my, let's see how many years I've done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And the accuracy is 83%.
That's pretty good.
And a C plus.
That's pretty good. What's most telling about that is that you aren't even 100% on yourself.
No, not at all. Although the last few years, 100% last year.
Well, that's good.
I'm getting better.
I would hope that you are 100% on yourself going forward. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of mind games, man. I mean, I hear people one way and then dart another, zig and zag, that whole thing.
You're playing mind games with everyone in your column.
Yeah.
Before the season even starts.
I got the form. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's not a terrible idea, I suppose. That's not a terrible idea. How do we get to the draft results from this year? There we go. Okay, so heading into this season, who did you think had the best keepers?
Well, I like my keepers, to be honest. But I think, I think Parker can have some pretty good keepers. Jared had a really tough decision with his.
What did you think of his decision? Because I thought that he should have kept Julio and Reggie Bush. Given that we are a PPR, those two players are probably going to finish in the top 10 in receptions. I just thought that was probably the way to go, but he ended up keeping Ray Rice instead. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Ray Rice and Reggie Bush, to be honest, they both are going to catch a lot of passes. I don't have the number that Rice caught up last year, but I imagine it's somewhere between 40 and 60 catches. So it's not like he's not going to get the reception. He may not get as many as Bush, but I bet he'll probably have more rushing yards and probably more rushing touchdowns than Bush. So, I mean, I can't fault him for going with Rice over Bush. I think Rice is probably the more proven commodity. He stays healthy. The offense, actually, I thought they were in trouble with all the guys that they lost, but they've actually looked pretty good in the preseason. So, the offense could be all right for him. I mean, Bush, the question is the new team. He has had some health concerns, but for the last couple of years, he's been pretty healthy.
Ray Rice actually finished with 61 catches last year. That doesn't seem high.
What is that?
Ray Rice actually finished with 61 catches last year.
Yeah, he catches a lot. I mean, it's going to, the question for Rice, it really is Bernard Pearson, what his involvement will be. It sounds like, I've heard things where they're splitting Rice out wide to, into the receiver position and have Pearson in the backfield as the true running back. So, I mean, we'll see if, football's in a couple days. We'll see the Ravens in a few days and see if those observations that have come out of training camp are true or just kind of, throwing us off a little bit. But, he had a tough one because he had a lot of keepers. I mean, I think, I predicted him to keep Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones. And that's obviously a risk because back at the end of the first round, you're not really looking at all-star running backs. So that would kind of leave him hamstrung a little bit from that respect. So I think, he went that way and I think he did fine.
I mean, I think between Jarrett and you guys probably had the most keeper options. I mean, he had Reggie Bush, Robert Griffin, Julio Jones, Ray Rice, and Demaryius Thomas. I mean, you could have made an argument for all five of those guys being kept.
Well, I think he had Josh Gordon, too. I think he had T.Y. Hilton.
And he had Josh Gordon, T.Y. Hilton, Tony Romo. I mean,
yeah. It was fast.
Yeah, he was pretty stacked top to bottom. And then you look at your team, Calvin Johnson, Andrew Luck, Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, Stephen Ridley, David Wilson.
Yeah, I had some good running backs I picked up at the end of the year. That kind of helped me.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm happy to have Stephen Ridley on my squad. Have you broken down the draft yet? Have you looked at the draft board? Have you looked at people's teams? Have you given any thought to what other people have done and what they did and what you think about them?
You know, we didn't get that chance to do that after the draft, did we? That's kind of like the.
That's been a tradition to kind of stand there and look at everyone's team and then kind of see what's going on. Oh, I like that pick. Oh, he was too early. We didn't really do that because we were in such a hurry to get out of there. Josh was like a real stickler to get to dinner and eat these crabs. Fuck, the crabs weren't going anywhere. You know, we could have.
Well, I think we were probably the last people out of that place, too. So I don't know if they were or they weren't going to go anywhere. But that little moment of reflection. After the draft, of kind of staring at those stickers, and
right.
I mean, that's always kind of stuff. We didn't quite get that. I think I talked to Navi. Navi sent a really funny picture. He actually ended up taking the draft board home, and he has it. He redecorated his apartment. It's like in his bedroom now, all standing up.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So he gets that moment.
Oh, Navi, if you're listening, please send me that picture. But have you taken a look back at the draft results and see? Was there a clear-cut winner in this draft? Was there a winner and a loser?
I think through the years that we've all gotten... I don't know what... Like, we were talking about this a little bit on the weekend, but I feel like the level of competition and information that everybody has as it pertains to fantasy football and NFL football and all the, things that are going on in training camp, we all are getting the same information, and I feel like looking at everybody's team, it's pretty tough. Like, there's no bad team, as far as I can tell. I'm looking at, like, the Yahoo projections. I think they're all, at least for week one, within, like, 5 or 10 points of each other, which kind of makes you think that, there, at this point, there's not a lead team, although the report card would make you think that Parker, with his special rules, gets the A-minus for the draft. So,
do you think about those report cards? It's a really interesting wrinkle for this season.
I think it's pretty funny. I don't know how much stock I put into it, but it's pretty funny, and, it all comes from some sort of data. They got all those charts at the end there, and
right.
I understand some of them, but I don't know. I mean, it's more fun than anything, I think. I don't know how.
I think it's pretty fantastic that Jason was a D. The two Jasons are D's.
Both of them, right?
At the bottom of the draft. Let's take a look at what Sherm Tank's report card said. The first word out of his report card is ouch. Despite selecting in the top half of the first round, Sherm Tank looks a little soft on paper. They're projected to finish 13th. With a record of 2-11 and only 1,200 points. It's really hilarious.
Yeah, I look at his, and he probably has to get a parent signature or something like that for that report card too, right?
Right, exactly. When you have a failing grade, you have to get something signed.
I think so, yeah.
There might be some counseling.
And get a signature.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But don't rock the boat. Sherm Tanks was focused on a steady squad, grabbing 5 consistent players out of 15 picks. He has only 1 above-average position grouping, his running backs, which are projected to beat the mean league at that slot by 23%. So I guess if there's one positive, Yahoo likes Jason's running backs.
There you go. He got Reggie Bush, who you were just talking about, so...
I do. I like that. I think he's going to have a huge year. And same thing with Cantor. It says, the poor draft position for 5 seconds there proved too great an obstacle to overcome. Who do you think writes these, or is it just like Mad Libs, where it's just pulling at random statements?
I think this is probably like Watson from IBM or something like that, kind of computing.
It's just some
putting it all in there, it's automated,
just some supercomputer.
Yeah, some supercomputer writing all this stuff for us. I mean, I look at Sherm's team. I thought Sherm did pretty good. He went with 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers early. They're both, it's good. I really like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I really like Andrew Luck as well. I have him in another one of my leagues.
I don't know. I mean, his team doesn't look like a deep team. You have Percy Harvin at the end there. I don't know how long that's going to last. Did he drop Percy? I thought Kelly.
Did he drop Percy Harvin already? Man, there's already been a bunch of...
Nick dropped Crabtree. That's who it was.
Oh, okay. There's already been... There's already been a lot of transactions, by the way.
Yeah, man. I'm guilty of two.
Let's see. Jonathan Franklin was added. Noshawn Marino was added. Bess was added. Let's see. Selleck, Sean Green, not for this world. Brandon Whedon was dropped by you.
Yeah, I was agonizing last night about making a move, and I pulled the trigger at like 1 in the morning.
Interesting. What is your thoughts on some of our new changes for this season? Do you like the idea of now it's no longer a free-for-all on Sundays that we all have to wait till Tuesday for the waiver wire to kick in?
Oh, yeah, I love that, man.
Why?
I love that.
What's your defense of this? Like, why is it a good idea for us?
Well, I like it because I won't feel compelled to stay tied to the couch and watch television all Sunday or tied to my phone. Although, in all honesty, I probably will be, but I won't at least feel that obligation of missing some big play or not getting to the computer and making that transaction. I think it's definitely going to change. Again, it's almost like, I don't know if it's leveling the playing field, because everybody will, you know, if you're, you know, that committed to it,
right,
sit there and watch the game, you know, that says something a little bit, but it says something, you know, how committed you are to it, you can make the moves and everything. And at this point, you know, the people who didn't necessarily do that will have the opportunity to make the same moves, you know, by Tuesday morning or whatever it is and catch up, you know. And there's definitely, I feel like there's, I don't know what the strategy is, but I'm sure that there's some strategy for the waiver wire. Like if you're number one and there's somebody that you want, but do you really want that person? Do you really want to like use that one waiver wire to get that, extra defense, that streaming defense or whatever? So, I mean, that'll be, you know, that's something to figure out, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when that kicks in, because inevitably there's going to be one player undrafted that's going to have an enormous week one, and everyone's going to want them. Normally, it would just be a free-for-all. The first person, like, as soon as he scores a touchdown, everyone rushes to pick him up. I think that's how Anquan Boldin got started in this league. Jason got him, you know, at halftime in 2004.
He's like everybody remembers Anquan Boldin, yeah.
Well, that's kind of the big one, I think. And even, I think... it might even have been like Sean Alexander or something. You know, somebody did the same thing like in 2002-ish maybe. But it's going to be interesting to see who that is. You're right. And I think some strategy comes into it. If you have that top waiver spot, do you really want to give that guy up? Do you want to give up that position to pick up somebody who you may not even start the next week or the 2 weeks or 3 weeks after?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're the type of person to do it, but like, in the past, I have been where I would stream a defense, so I pick a defense 1 week that plays like a real... Like I did this week, I picked up the Indianapolis defense because they're playing Oakland.
Right.
And I think it's going to be, you know, JV versus varsity there. And there's a lot of teams that, you know, use that approach and stream a defense. And so if you do that, and there's like three or four teams that do that, there's always competition to get that next defense. And so now you really, because of the waiver wire, I feel like you have to kind of plan, you know, either a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance so that you can kind of stockpile those defenses rather than rely on the waiver wire and use up your numbers.
Right. It's kind of like Rich Kiss, I think, started that, the defense by committee, where you're just going week to week and plucking a defense based on the matchups. So I think that strategy might be kind of on the way out.
Well, it might be harder to do. It may take a little bit more thought. You may have to have, you know, a defense for this week and a defense for either next week or the week after. So that, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, but I think it's that will definitely impact how people play the streaming defense.
What do you think Who do you like this year? Who do you like? Who do you like to win it outside of yourself? Do you think it's going to be a new champion? Does someone else hoist the trophy this year, or is it going to be a repeat champion?
I hope it's me or a new person. I think Mark has been fighting and fighting. He's got a pretty good team outside of his ring. I'm looking at his draft. It'd be good to see the commissioner bring home the trophy, I think.
He is starting Ben Tate at running back this week.
Yeah, he went, you know, everybody's got a strategy for the draft. He stocked up on wide receivers. And as a result, you know, his running backs are not as strong.
His wide receiver group is pretty damn impressive, though, with Brandon Marshall, Reggie Wayne, Wes Welker.
Yeah, I mean, you can count on that for you know, the majority. And with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's going to be like 80% of his points every week.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you can't really argue with that, with those studs. And I guess, you know, he'll be one to rely on, you know, the waiver wire and getting those running backs.
Right, that's one of those things. You have your draft strategy and you make a trade-off. Do you want a balanced team, or do you want to load up on two positions and then kind of piecemeal the rest of your squad together? And, you know, obviously we saw the direction that he went. Normally, I'm kind of the opposite. My running backs are good, and then I'm trying to piece together receivers throughout the year. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out for Mark, because, Chris Ivory and Ben Tate, they're both... Chris Ivy started in 18% of leagues, and Ben Tate's only starting in 7.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some guys he can trade. I mean, you got two stud wide receivers. You can always fill in that third one. But, I mean, maybe if you wanted to trade a Welker or a Wayne, you'd be able to pick up a solid running back. I'm in the market for wide receivers. He's in the market for running back. So, Mark, call me.
You guys are already talking trade a week, you know, 4 days before week one. That's amazing. It's funny when you look at...
How do you like your team? Did you have any strategy going in there? You went with MJD and Ryan to keep, so you had your eye on...
You know,
I
posted in my weekend recap that I had talked myself into a strategy, because quarterback's so deep. I wish I had a better receiver option to keep, because I would have kept that person. I wasn't in love with Mike Wallace, and I thought, you know, if I could have kept a running back and a receiver there, I could have drafted a quarterback much later, because I would have been happy with, you know, probably 4 different guys if they had fallen to me. But I think Matt's going to have he's going to put up probably similar to the same numbers he put up last year, 4,700 yards, 35 touchdowns, which, you know, it's fantastic. That's a monster season. That's almost 400 fantasy points. So I wanted to get a running back in the first round. I had narrowed it down, like I said, to the 4 choices, and 2 of them were there. And so, you know, I went with Ridley, and then I kind of went receiver on the way back. I'm very happy with Colston. He's very consistent throughout the years, you know, 80-plus catches, 10-plus touchdowns. And then from there, you know, I'm just trying to fill roster spots. Last year I felt that the position that really hurt me was tight end, and so Tony Gonzalez is going to have a monster season again this year. And to match him up with Ryan, that's the double points. And then from there, you're just trying to piece together receivers who you think could do something. I actually have 3 rookies this year, which I've never done before. I really wanted Seattle's defense. Obviously, they helped carry you to a championship last year. And seeing them in the preseason, I just think they're going to be out of this world with the points with the points that they could potentially put up. So I like my team. A little thin at wideout. If E.J. Manuel plays, I feel much better about my Stevie Johnson pick.
Yeah, I was thinking about that guy, too.
I would love it if DeAndre Hopkins is healthy, is 100%, because I think he has major breakout potential. I guess we'll see what the Browns are doing. They looked good in the preseason, but as always, Greg Little is just a disaster. You know, I've had him before, and so it's funny.
Yeah,
it's funny when you look at my bench. I have a lot of guys with with 4% start, 1% start, 3% start. So I'm definitely starter heavy, so those bye weeks might be tough for me.
Well, the good thing about Little is that, you know, Gordon's out the first 2 weeks, so, I mean, at least he'll be the number one. And,
right.
Yeah, we'll see what that team looks like.
Right, I don't know. I mean, it's not playing Miami, maybe it's not worth it for me to start him, I guess. I don't know. I think Arizona's going to throw it a lot, so maybe Andre Roberts could be a good number three or four option down there. I'm not sure. I think I don't really like to make any moves prior to week one. This is my team. We're going to ride it out for a week and just kind of see how people are used in their respective offenses before I really start to panic.
Yeah, no, I think that's the. I mean, you spent a lot of time kind of cultivating the people that you wanted, and it's very easy to make those rash decisions based on week one or week two.
Sure. I mean, I think my top five, I think, are pretty good. I think I have two good running backs, a really good tight end, a really good quarterback, and Colston's really consistent. And then you throw in the defense. And I think, you know, my top five or six scorers, I think, are there. And, you know, your championships are won with those last three pieces. And I guess we'll just see if it all comes together. I mean, obviously, it's way too early to tell. So it is interesting to me when you look at the projected point totals, which mean nothing. Take them for what they are. Everyone in the league is over 100 points. And actually, everyone is over 106 points, which is crazy.
Yeah, everyone's within like 6 or 7 points of it's amazing.
And everyone is projected at over 106 points, which I don't know if that's ever happened before. I don't think we made any scoring changes. That is crazy.
Yeah, usually there's a team or two that's like
in the 90s, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's usually a few teams like that. Actually, that is interesting. I mean, I imagine once the season starts, they may, you know, update their projections and we'll see some fluctuation. But, I mean, all of the games are, I mean, your game is projected, what, 1.5?
Right.
I think the biggest spread, according to Yahoo, is 5 points. Parker and Note.
Yeah, you're an underdog to Dave by 0.38.
Yeah.
Sherman is an underdog to Nick by 0.22. I mean, it looks like, you know, going into the season, everyone kind of has an even team. And I think if you look at the draft grades, that sort of resembles that, where 10 teams are within one grade of each other. And you just have, you know, on the bell is Parker and the Jasons, you know, at the top and bottom. But that's normally how it is. What's the record, do you think? What will be the record of the team that wins this year? Do you think a team is going to run away with it and go 12-2? Or is it going to be, a 9-4 that wins the season?
I don't see a 12-1 happening right now. I mean, it just looks so close. I mean, just looking at the draft board, I'd be surprised if there was a 12-1 team, and I'd be surprised if there was like a 2-11 or 3-13. But you know, the season goes on and injuries happen, and I mean, you really never know. And that's part of the thing is, you know, the draft is one thing, and the waiver wire is another, and that's really, you know, something that you have to take into consideration for, you know, the season-ending stats, I guess.
It's going to definitely be interesting. Let's talk real NFL for a second. How do you feel about the Redskins?
I feel great. I think they look fantastic.
We know you love them. Are you worried about Robert? Robert and I, we're on a first-name basis, so are you worried about Robert?
Yeah, man. He's probably one of the first times I've used my fantasy obsession with my real-life NFL obsession. So I have RG3 as my quarterback, which I've never had. I don't think I've ever had the Redskins quarterback before.
Obviously, because your Redskins quarterbacks have been terrible.
That's part of the problem, yeah. So,
why did you not take... Stafford was there. Why did you not take Stafford and match up double points with Calvin? Why didn't you do that? Are you that confident that Robert's going to outscore Stafford this year? Or did your Redskins homerism get in your way?
It was a very emotional 6-point rock. You're not supposed to use your emotional side of your brain when you're going through these drafts, and I definitely used my emotional side of my brain.
He was there.
I mean,
your eyes got so big, you just couldn't help yourself. You had to have him.
Yeah, I was hyperventilating. I couldn't sit still. And when I took him, DA was like, I'm glad you took him, because he wasn't going to get back to you.
Yeah, because VA is also a giant Redskins fan.
Stafford was on my list, too. I think he went a few picks later to Jared.
Yep.
That would have been, nice going away present for Calvin Johnson, my longtime keeper, to pair him up with his quarterback. But, I do like RG3 better this year. We'll see if that thought has any merit at all.
Do you think he's healthy? Do you think Robert's healthy? Do you think not playing in the preseason is going to affect you? I mean, you have to wait all the way till Monday to see him play.
Yeah. Well, Shanahan said he is starting, which is good. And I did see, this was after the draft, but the ESPN did this, 1-hour documentary.
I heard about it, didn't see it. This guy that I used to work with is a huge Redskins fan and loves Robert also, and so he was trying to tell me about it. But was it any good? The will to win. I mean, he hasn't won anything. What is he willing to win, exactly?
Well, I'll tell you what, he did his ACL or something like that last January. So it was really just kind of going over the last 9 months or whatever, preparing for the season. And, based on what they showed, this guy is determined to play. And it's hard for me to say how this compares to other pro athletes, but just based on watching this, this guy really works and he really wants, and he just seems like a super stand-up guy. That just kind of furthered my excitement for having him on my team because you hear about ACL tears, and you're like, oh, ACL tear, whatever. But, to get back to the form that these guys are in, to be able to play and have confidence in your knee, requires day in and day out work. And he talked about he got married this summer, and he did a bachelor party in Vegas. And his buddies he went with said that he was out till 5 in the morning, doing whatever he's doing at his bachelor party. And then by 8 in the morning, he was at the UNLV gym for 4 hours doing rehab.
Wow.
Which is, that doesn't say dedication, That's a hat off to him. And so in terms of him being healthy, I think he'll be fine. I do have one concern with this whole option play and defenses talking about how the way to defend the option is really to just go after the quarterback, just nail the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, RG runs a lot of those plays, so hopefully that won't be something that, kind of knocks him back a little bit. But I think he's going to be super healthy. I think he's going to be fine for the game, and they're playing the Eagles, and I think that's a great matchup for him to start off with because their defense hasn't been, very good this preseason, so it should be a good high spun game for the Redskins.
Do you think that Robert talks too much?
Do I think what?
Do you think he talks too much? Do you think he's too much time on Twitter, too much time kind of disputing what the Shanahan said? Do you worry about that at all?
I do worry about the back and forth with the coach. I do worry about that a little bit. Robert Griffin says something and the coach says something and then it kind of creates this controversy, and it feels like there's some sort of tension, but not being there, I don't really know, how that is. But reading some of the comments and the comments that don't necessarily kind of line up with one another, one coming from the coach, one coming from the quarterback, kind of makes you a little bit nervous. I think he is a pretty stand-up guy, and I think he will do what it takes. If the coach wants him to sit, I think, after what happened last year, I think he'll take a seat and kind of put the team first to a certain extent, I guess.
Redskins won the division for the first time in ages, made the playoffs for the first time in a dozen years or so. Are they going to make it back? Can they win the East? Are you worried about the Cowboys?
I think that might be the one team to worry about in the East, the Cowboys. I think the Giants are in trouble. I think their defense, the defenses in the NFC East are not very imposing, based on what we're looking at now. So, you know, six games against Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles. I think we'll see some high-scoring games. I think for fantasy purposes, you know, you may want to target guys in the NFC East because I think, you know, there's not going to be a lot of defense to be playing against. But, I mean, in terms of, you know, this preseason, the Redskins were able to just run over anybody, and they didn't even have RG3 in the game. So I think that part of their game, their running game, is going to pick up right where it left off last year. And once you put Griffin back in there, you know, I think good things will happen. I think the Cowboys are right there with them. I think, you know, a lot of offensive firepower. I think Dez is just going to be a beast.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I have Dez in two of my other leagues, and I couldn't be more excited. I mean, I think...
Yeah, he looks like a real deal.
Yeah. He's going to be just out of this world, I think. I mean, and if you look at the last, you know, the last half of last year, he had 10 touchdowns down the stretch.
Yeah, he was better than Calvin.
Yeah.
And Calvin had a record year, so, I mean, at the end of the day, to play something like that for the last half of the year, he's got it going on.
Give me your Super Bowl. Who do you like? Who's gonna? What's the matchup? And give me the winner.
Oh man, Super Bowl. Let's see. I do like. I mean, out of the AFC, I like the Broncos. I mean, I don't know how you can't like the Broncos. I think they're the Super Bowl favorites, actually, aren't they? Are they for the Vegas?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
But I like them, offense, defense. Once Von Miller comes back, it's going to be like, you know, I think his foot is injured. Once he gets back there, I think by the end of the season, they should be fine. And then NFC's tough.
NFC's tough, wide open. There's only a handful of teams in the AFC, but in the NFC, wow, there's probably 10 teams that could win the Super Bowl, or make it.
Yeah, there's going to be some solid teams that don't make the playoffs. I mean, I do, you know, we'll see how Steven Jackson works in Atlanta. I do like that pickup. He hasn't looked that great in preseason.
No.
But, you know, if he gets it together the way he's played in the past and plays for a winning team, I think that team could be solid. I think they got, you know, pretty good defense there. They got OC, I think, right? OC and you're on the defense. And
yep.
I think some guys back healthy from last year. Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, on Super Bowl.
So that's your pick? Broncos, Falcons?
Yeah, we'll do that. That's good.
Broncos?
How about you? What do you got?
Falcons. My pick, I also like the Falcons, and I'm going Patriots, Falcons.
Is that right?
Patriots, okay. Falcons. Falcons were one play away last year, and I think they got a little bit better. So.
Okay. How about that? I'm the same page, nice work.
And I like the Patriots. Of course I like the Patriots. But I think it's going to come down to who gets home field advantage between them and the Broncos. I think those are the two elite teams in the AFC. And I think the home field advantage will be the most important thing.
That would be a great playoff game, wouldn't it?
Both of them. That would be
Manning and Brady one more time.
An AFC championship game one more time. I mean, we almost had it last year. It would be fantastic if those guys faced off against each other. But there's always a team that kind of rises up and kind of comes out of nowhere, like the Colts last year, like the Redskins. And so I'm really curious as to see which team that would be. A lot of people are loving the Bengals, even though they've made the playoffs the last 2 years. But they're really liking them to win the AFC. We'll see. I don't know how much I don't know if I have that much faith in Andy Dalton, but their defense is definitely very tough. AJ Green's explosive. Don't love their running back situation. I don't know if you can rely on either of those two guys, the rookie, Gio, and the law firm. It's going to be a fantastic season. Scott, you are matched up week one against the New Jersey Jacobins, a week one matchup of former champions. It doesn't get much better than that. He is the 2012 ROFFL champion, Scott Watson. Thanks for coming on, pal.
All right. Thanks, Bart. Good luck this season.
Good luck to you, my friend.
ROFFL.